Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Oh, You podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Oh, You podcast. We are here today with the one and only Sydney Altfield from the Teach Coalition right here in New York. Sydney, welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go? You're more nervous than sitting in front of Congress and testifying?
Yeah, I have to say. It's a little more nerve-wracking to, you know, talk about yourself when really I'm used to talking about other people and what we need, but I'm here to step up the challenge.
Well, if that's the case, we are going to start with the most difficult question that we ask. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, that's difficult. A little bit about me. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida.
I just came back from Miami, Florida.
I'm so jealous.
Beautiful place.
It is beautiful. So I was born and raised there. Both my parents were born and raised there, which is very unlikely these days. So we're real native Miami roots. Went to Hebrew Academy in Miami, and then I went to UCF. I actually went to seminary before that. Went to Israel.
Which one?
Michalat Esther, it doesn't exist anymore, but Neve campus, a lot of people know about the Neve campus,
so lived there. Was it a good experience?
The best experience ever, and it was very hashgacha pratis, the way that it happened, was not supposed to go until the very last minute, and thank God I went, because it was
same thing happened to me?
Yeah.
See? We're twins.
And then went to UCF, University of Central Florida, go Knights, and had my college experience there, and then after that, I worked for my sorority, my Jewish sorority, for a year, traveling to different
Which
campuses.
Sorority?
Alpha Epsilon Phi sorority, shout out. Great Jewish organization for women on campuses that need a Jewish home away from home. So I worked for them for a year and went to travel to different campuses to do leadership development, getting the chapters up on their feet. And then I made my way to New York, and here I am.
Here you are. And how long have you been with us here at the Orthodox Union?
Oh my gosh, 6.5 years.
6.5 years.
Yeah.
And your title is?
It's Executive Director of Teach NYS.
And for people at home who don't know what Teach NYS is?
So Teach NYS is an advocacy organization that advocates for government funding for Jewish day schools and yeshivas in hopes to alleviate the burden of tuition on families and to, hopefully one day tackle and solve the tuition crisis that's going on.
Just Jewish day schools?
So while we work directly with Jewish day schools within our membership organization, when we're in Albany or City Hall in New York, we are always advocating for all non-public schools. And we work very closely with our Catholic partners, our Islamic partners, because when we come together with one voice, we have a much better outcome and people listen to us more.
Now, why do you think it is that when people say, oh, you're part of Teach, that they don't know that it's connected to the OU?
It's because the breadth of the work that we do reaches so many avenues and so many levels of Judaism as well. So we have people on our member school from the super left on reform and conservative, and we have people all the way to the super right from Borough Park and all different areas. And we try to keep our neutral stance in the sense that we have one goal, advocating for Jewish day schools and all non-public schools, and any other things that sometimes the OU may take on, which are very, very important, sometimes muddle the waters of it's not what we're doing, but we're doing one thing and one thing only, and we try to keep it that way, that it's for every person on the spectrum, no matter what.
So would it be fair to say that one of the reasons Teach Coalition has its own identity is because it shows how the Orthodox Union can matter across the Jewish world and beyond, without saying it's all about the Orthodox?
Exactly put. Much better than I could have said it.
I'm learning from you. What are some of the cool things that Teach is up to now? Like, how much money did you guys raise in New York last year?
So fundraising or from the government?
Okay.
So from the government, about $386 million was allocated to non-public schools.
Amazing.
Since the start of Teach Coalition in 2013, when the OU took it over, that's really when we use our start date, it's been $3.4
billion. $3.4
billion
has gone to non-public schools because of the work of people like you. Just in New York?
Just in New York.
How many states is Teach in?
We're in 6 states: New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, California, and Florida.
So what's like a cool teach story that you have that you want to share with us?
A cool teach story. There's so many, because when you're working in politics, it's just like the days are evolving and everything happens on a whim. One really good story, and this is a lot accredited to the work that our community leaders do in building relationships with politicians. So we have a community leader that has built a relationship with a politician from when this person was public advocate in New York City. A lot of people probably don't even know that there's such thing as a public advocate, but it's an office held. And this person was public advocate and they drove up the ranks and they're now the attorney general of the state of New York, Letish James.
Yep.
She was supposed to come and speak at one of our missions. She said she couldn't because she wasn't going to be in Albany that day. And the person who has the relationship with her came with us to that mission, and he was walking in the halls of Albany and he saw her and he said, "Tish, I thought you weren't supposed to be here." She said, "I came last minute." He said, "We're here for the event. Can you come and speak to the kids?" She walked right on in, spoke to all the kids.
Amazing.
And that just shows, it's an amazing thing that when you have relationships with the right people and you keep them on, you know, you never know who you're going to be friendly with, and you're never going to know where that person's going to be. And they value those relationships. She could have said, "No, I'm busy. I have to keep working." But she stopped what she was doing, turned around and walked right in and spoke to the kids.
Now, you may not know this about me, but back in a previous job, I had some responsibility for government relations, and I was invited into the New York State Capitol to speak in front of the House and to open it with a blessing before the House and before the Senate.
An invocation.
Invocation is the right word. Correct. Thank you. And that was like my moment of speaking in front of, you know, Congress, as it were. You've also had a couple of those moments, especially recently. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
It was awesome. I loved it.
What did you talk about?
So I spoke about the need for security funding. I actually opened it up and I said to them, "I usually like to come here and talk to you all about the amazing education going on in our schools, STEM, arts, music, ways that you can advance the education of the future of tomorrow. But I said, unfortunately, I have to use my time to talk about the security issues that these schools are facing." And I went on to discuss a lot of the stories that I personally have heard from schools and relay that information to them and say, "This is what's happening on the ground and this is how you can fix it."
Amazing. So important. Thank you for doing that and representing us so well. I know it was very well received and impactful.
Thank you.
So let's go to the imaginary hypothetical for a moment. Mm-hmm. If you could testify in front of Congress, mm-hmm. on any topic that you'd like, what would it be and what would you say?
Oh my gosh, wow, what a loaded question. I'm a fierce advocate for so many different things. I truly believe that if you don't voice your opinion and if you don't stand up for what you believe in and if you don't act on it, then you can't complain and you can't be of a complaining society that just is upset with what's going on. I think we're in a very interesting place in the world where there's a lot going on, both nationally and internationally. So I don't know. I think I'd have to really think about what I would talk about. But
would it be the importance of wearing power glasses?
Probably. I've been wearing them since third grade. So,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
They told me that I was going to have glasses in third grade.
These same frames?
No, not these same frames. Okay. But I just couldn't get contacts in for the life of me. And it took me years and years and years to finally figure it out. And it's just easier to pop in a pair of glasses.
And now it's your signature.
Now it's my signature thing. Now people, when I wear contacts, they're like, "Who?" I'm like, "Sydney." And they say, "Oh, okay."
Okay. So just so you know, your mother is happy with this interview, right? You did want to share one piece of information about your history that you haven't.
Yeah. So I was, you know, in prepping for the interview, we were asked, you know, what's family life like at home? And you know, my family, at least at home when I go home at night, consists of me. So, and I said my mom and my dad also would be very unhappy if I didn't use this opportunity to say that I'm single and that I am looking for my Basharat out there. So let me know.
What's something that Teach does that maybe people don't know, people don't understand sort of the work that's going on?
Sure. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, tireless days and nights, because politicians also don't sleep and politics never sleeps and there's something always going on. But I think what some people don't understand when we try to build these relationships with schools and their politicians and people with their politicians is that, yes, it's important that you advocate on the issues that we are asking for. But these relationships are supposed to last beyond that and supposed to be for beyond that. So actually, one of the schools in Long Island was hit really hard during one of the really bad rainstorms. They lost all their power. They couldn't open because there was no power. And because of the relationship that we helped them forge with their state senator, the head of the school called the state senator immediately and said, I need power. I need to open my doors tomorrow. And they had the people coming the next day, the next morning, first ones there. And the head of school said, if we had not known or who our state senator was or had ever met her before, we would not be able to open our school or have power. So I think it's important for people to realize that you can really make a difference and you can really change the way that our community is viewed. Sometimes, especially, and this is why I like to do what I do, is that when the Holocaust was happening, there was no one advocating for us and advocating for us in anywhere in the world. And the people that were so minute and so small and weren't being heard. And that kind of taught us that we can never kind of sit back and not be at the forefront of what's going on. And even just something so small as turning on the lights, that if they hadn't had that relationship, if they didn't have that within themselves to ask for help, then...
It's a so important point that these relationships are key, especially at a time like this. Mm-hmm. You know, stories of anti-Semitism and different kinds of things that are going on, not just from a security perspective, but having the ear mm-hmm. of our politicians and letting them know, you know, sort of what we feel and what we see and sometimes even correcting them on the facts of what they might be hearing from other people is so crucial and so important. And so those relationships that you've built and your team have built are really important mm-hmm. at this time. Mm-hmm. Or have you gotten questions from any of them about, you know, sort of what's going on and your perspectives and what's happening in schools and in different kinds of places?
Yeah, it's kind of expanded my scope. I've sat in a lot of meetings, especially with things going on within public schools. We've seen a lot of things happening within public schools that spill out onto the streets, and then we have to secure our institutions, and it kind of all is coalesced or, you know, one and the same now. But also people have asked me my opinions and I have to, you know, separate, you know, I work for this organization, but I have a personal hat as well. It's, I think the time that we're in, at least me, I'll never be the same before October 7th as I am afterwards. And I have a different outlook on life. And I feel that we need to have people that can talk to politicians and really, you know, bring that human element to it than what they see on social media, than what they see on the news. But really talking to people who are on the ground, who know what's going on, whether in schools, because sometimes they just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so important, so important. Now, people say you work very hard and that even in your spare time, you're watching C-SPAN the entire time to keep up with what's going on.
Sometimes.
Any hobbies aside from, you know, sort of a...
What do I like to do in my free time? I love to read.
What are you reading now?
I'm actually reading a book called An Unorthodox Batch, where it's about a chassid in Borough Park and a non-religious bal tshuva who comes into Borough Park and how she got to where she is and how they kind of connect. And it's actually pretty interesting. I also love to read historical Holocaust books. So the next one that I have on the docket, which I want to start reading, is I think called We Were the Lucky Ones or something okay. like that. But I do love to read. I love traveling. I love doing outdoor activities, hanging with my friends and family. I just like being surrounded by good people, happy people, people that make me happy. So I don't know, anything really. I'll be happy doing anything.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So we'll go for a run afterwards.
I'm not a runner. I am very athletic.
You said anything. You said outdoors. I don't know.
I will do it, but I won't
not gonna
be having
be happy.
Fun.
Got it. You like the outdoors?
I do.
What's the best hike you've ever been on?
Angel's Landing in Zion. It's actually, I think, one of the like most dangerous hikes in America. It's this thin and you have to hold on to the rope as you climb it up. And I made it to the top. And I will say, it wasn't really scary. The scariest part was that people who don't wear hiking shoes, like, slip a little bit. So you hear people behind you, like, slipping. And you're like, the worst thing is that I'm going to witness someone falling. And they have had people fall. So that, to me, was the scariest, was going up and you'd hear tss, slip and I'm going to witness something, but I made it to the top and I'm here to tell the story.
And nobody else.
No one slipped. Slipped. Thank God.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So rumor has it, not only were you an athlete that you mentioned, but you were a flag football athlete. And you know, this year in the Olympics, the next Olympics is actually going to be flag football. So any rumor that you're going back to?
You never know. I need to dust off these arms because I played quarterback, but no, at Heber Academy in Miami, I don't know if they still have it, but they had a flag football team and I played every sport. I played volleyball. I didn't play tennis. I played volleyball. I played basketball. I played flag football. Flag football was one of my favorites because we were never really good, so we could just like have fun with it. Basketball, we actually were pretty good, so we had to be serious. But flag football was really fun and I love playing sports. I'm always happy to throw around a football or throw a basketball around, but not a runner. Just don't like long distance running. Sorry.
I guess we're not twins after all. Yeah. You have any questions for me?
I have so many questions.
All right.
What's going to be allowed and what's not? I'm kidding. What do you envision being like within the next 5 years of the OU? Where do you see this organization going? And I think that answer, I think I've probably asked you that answer before October 6th, and I think a lot of the probably answers have changed since then. So
it's a great, important question. I will say, even before October 7th, all the more so after, our eyes are on Israel and how we can be helpful and impactful there. You know, we have OU Israel has 20 youth centers and the need for those centers and maybe growing the number of centers and how many teens we are working with and families in different communities, especially along the periphery, that is only increasing and our attention is certainly in that direction. And then there's groups of people that we haven't yet contemplated, or we've contemplated and we haven't yet approached. So, you know, we have a teen-focused arm and we have a college focused arm. We
don't NCSY girl right here.
Really? Yeah. That didn't get in the rundown. We don't yet have real concerted efforts on the post college, early career professionals, young professionals, 24 to 30, 40, whatever the number is, right? Mm-hmm. That where we're designing program for that, and community for that age cohort. So there's a lot of different things that we are hearing that there are important needs about and that we want to act in that direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have dreams just like you do when it comes to affordability. So we've launched all kinds of programs around affordability. We have a home relocation fair where for some people that's moving to Israel, and for some people that's finding a community sometimes, quote, out of town. In places where it might be more affordable to live. We have a program called Living Smarter Jewish that helps people work out their financial budget planning questions with coaching. Kosher Money Podcast, you know, that again gives people guidance along those things. At the center of that activity is the stuff you're doing, is teach and making schools more affordable for families. Is absolutely a piece of that. So when you add it all together, right, there's this notion of elevating the religious, the Jewish experience in North America, as well as in Israel. And when you go back to Israel, thinking about people who've made Aliyah recently, not so recently, and helping them, you know, sort of to grow and to continue to grow in their Jewish journeys when they're in Israel as well.
I find it interesting the after college part, especially I like to think that I'm still in that middle age range. But I think a lot of people after October 7th have kind of brought their way back to Judaism and feeling the need to be connected through events or socializing. So I think that now is kind of a pivotal moment to think about that. At least I've seen it in my friends, both religious, not religious, secular, but they've all kind of come to this moment in time where this needs to be a bigger part of my life.
Yeah, there's no question that Jewish identity, mm-hmm. right, seems to be something that people are connecting with. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, right? Because if you're talking about the work of Teach, and it's not just about the Orthodox community, and by the way, it's not just about the Jewish community, there's an opportunity to feel some pride mm-hmm. in the Jewish identity and doing good for lots of different people. And I hope you feel good about that too.
A lot of people ask me, they say, you don't have kids. Like, why are you so passionate about this? And I say, I believe that the continuity of the Jewish people lies within a Jewish education. So if I care anything about the continuity of the Jewish people, then I have to make sure that Jewish education is available and affordable for anyone and everyone who wants it. Whether you go to a conservative school, a reform school, any school that offers some sort of Jewish education and that brings that those values into the education, to me, it's a win if we can make that affordable to anyone and everyone that wants it. And to me, that's the continuity of the Jewish people.
Beautiful. Very well said. Now we go to something called rapid fire questions. Okay, these are sort of, yes, there you go. And I can give you options, okay? The first one I kind of don't want to give you, so just to see how you get it. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. How much STEM funding did our schools get this past year?
$73 million.
She knows her stuff. What percent of their DNA do humans share with bananas?
I don't like bananas. There's only two things I don't eat, tuna fish and bananas.
We're really twins. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, I do like tuna, though.
Yeah, so. I'm not. Yeah.
But I'll give you an option. I'll give you options. Okay. 10%, 33%, 50%, 75%.
33.
50.
Oh, my God. Close. I'm half a banana? What?
You are half a banana.
I don't like that.
And you don't even like bananas. Right. You must like the other half of yourself. When was Teach Coalition founded?
Oh, it's a trick question, actually. So if you want to say, when did the OU take it over and when did it really become the brand that it is? 2013. But it was really around 2009 when in the Syrian community, our fearless leaders, Sam Sutton and Chuck Mamie, really started it all.
How many OU program departments are there? Do you want options?
The limit does not exist. yeah, options.
18, 20. 16, 17.
17.
So close.
20.
16.
16. Mm. I thought they did so much more. See, it's better that I answered that way.
What's the dream job? Where are you going? Where are you going to be when you grow up?
Where do I want to be where I grow up? I would like to run and be the head honcho of a Jewish organization.
OU?
Maybe one day. Okay. You never know.
Let's switch for a day.
I'm coming for your job. No. I just really believe that, because I hope that I stay in nonprofit and I hope I stay in Jewish nonprofit. And I'm always looking for the next challenge. So at some point I hope to get there. But I do believe that I want to be able to use my abilities, my passion, everything I want to do, I want to just give it back. It's just always been instilled with me. And I don't want it to sound like I want to be on top, but I want to be doing the most that I can be for the Jewish community.
Amazing. What do you think of 40 Rector Street?
Oh my gosh, it's so great. From someone who has been working here for a really long time, and I acknowledge my faults. I don't know so many people here because I kind of like stick to my work and do it, and I really should be much better about it. But I think that 40 Rector fosters collaboration and meeting more people, which I love. And the internal staircase, amazing. I think we need another one going up because we're like busting at the seams.
We're growing. Yeah. We're growing. If you could give a bracha. A blessing to us at the OU, what would it be?
I would say, I know and I hope that all of the things that we are doing right now, because they're incredible across the spectrum, only grow and multiply a million infinity fold, and that people do it with the best of their abilities, but with the best mindset. And if we're personable and we are of giving nature and the good, upstanding Jewish people that we are told to be and we should be, then I think that our path to success is the yellow brick road is open and can be ran down. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's a good one. So our bracha to you is that you should continue to not just find your match at work, but at home as well. And that you should continue the path that you're on towards the stratosphere that whatever part we've had in helping to launch you. We know that you launched yourself. We know that you that keeps going and that someday you are sitting in this chair, whether just for the interview or actually to have the job.
Or just playing musical chairs, because that's also fun. You can do that too.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It was great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.